This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Lily Chai.
Today is World Water Day. We'll be discussing tech tides, innovation for a water-secure future. Did you know that nearly 30% of the global population, or around 2.2 billion people, still lack access to safe drinking water? And about 4.2 billion don't even have access to proper sanitation services. These startling statistics underscore the urgency of tackling water-related challenges. Today, we'll be looking at World Water Day with our guests. We have Faisal Ahmad, the founder, CEO, and CTO of Rivel, and Paul Rogers, the CEO of the Water Tree Project. We'll get to those guys in a couple of minutes. Just some stats. We are celebrating World Water Day, as we said, and it's an annual event established by the UN to raise awareness about the importance of water, promote conservation, and address global water challenges. And as we speak, millions of people worldwide face water scarcity, pollution, and inadequate sanitation. So in light of World Water Day, we're going to explore how technology and startups can help address these pressing issues.
So as we mentioned, like big numbers, 30% of the global population. So I guess one of the ways we can make a difference is by using innovative technologies and new businesses to promote efficient water use and management. And in recent years, good news, right? We've actually seen a surge in startups and companies dedicated to addressing water scarcity and improving access to clean water. And today, we have the pleasure to be joined by these two guests who are making waves, literally, right, in the water technology sector.
We did write that on purpose, Paul. I can see Paul giggling already. Okay, carry on.
Right. So in a while, we will be diving deep into the work of our guests and discuss how they innovate using technologies to innovate and their business models as well to see, you know, how are they making a lasting impact on global water issues. And it is important to note that solving water scarcity is not just about increasing access to water, but it's also using it more efficiently.
Yeah. So let's just get our guests to introduce themselves right now. We have Faisal. He's here in the studio with us. Faisal, can you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
Hi. So first and foremost, on behalf of the company, thank you very much for inviting us. So Rivel is a water technology startup company where our mission is to accelerate access to fresh water at affordable costs. So with that mission, we're trying to serve that mission by providing few relevant water technologies that solve different water challenges. Mm-hmm. And the main technology that we are providing to the market right now is atmospheric water generator, or simply put, is a water from air generator. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And then we also have water savings technology, which it is a grey water recycling and also rainwater harvesting. And the third one that we have is water filtration for remote areas where it doesn't use any electricity, zero energy filtration. It is called a gravity-driven membrane. Yeah. Mm. So in general, that's what we do as a company. And we're trying to serve the mission, which is somehow related to the theme of World Water Day 2023, which is accelerating change. Mm. And we do see that, what we are doing right now is we are trying to serve a complementary function in water industry as a startup.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, we also have with us on the phone line is Paul Rogers. He's the CEO of the Water Tree Project. They focus on sustainable and renewable water solutions. Paul, welcome to the show. I'm hoping technology is on our side today and we can actually hear you. How are you?
Hi, Rich. Can you hear me now?
We can. Fantastic. How are you, sir?
Great. And I got to hear the news. So thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah. Give us an introduction then about the Water Tree Project, Paul.
I must apologize. I went to Sting's concert on Monday night, so I'm still a little bit hoarse. It was a great concert. I forgot about the radio part. So we're called the Water Tree Project. So our goal really is to focus on more sustainable consumption practices. So in terms of the SDGs, so today you're looking at 6. We're also looking at 11, 12, and 14. So it's about responsible consumption. It's about life under the water in a river and marine systems. So it's all part of the bigger UN picture, I guess, going forward. So we've come to the market with a paper-based water drink, so to replace plastic water. We're also promoting or using augmented reality as a way to encourage corporate engagement and education in terms of the messaging. Within our business, we're looking to use things like AI to route deliveries more effectively. And from this year on, we'll start to publish a report on our own energy management within the business. So basically, maybe other SMEs can look at what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is the way forward. So basically, how does this fit into, do you want to stop there? And then we go on to sustainable water management practices? Or?
Well, no, carry on for a little bit, please. I'm happy to hear you talk.
Okay, good. With my accent. So with regard to sustainable management or water management practices, how do we fit into that picture? So prior to the pandemic, which is when we started, we kicked off a few months before the pandemic started. Mm. So then the most visible aspect of plastic overuse, you might say, in Malaysia, and indeed in many countries, was just the amount of plastic water being used. So we estimated we were looking at 35 to 40 million bottles, single-use plastic bottles being used every month. And that's got to go somewhere. So it goes into overused landfills, it goes into illegal dump sites, goes into rivers, goes into the marine system through the rivers. And it's damaging to both the riverine and the marine ecosystems.
Yeah.
And so for me, for example, I love fish. Mm. So I probably, like many people, I'm part plastic now because I'm just eating so much of it. So our idea was fairly simple. So we have a viable alternative to plastic water. Mm. And then we work with the corporates to try to understand how they can use their ESGs to more effectively engage their own businesses and the communities around of which they're part. Because corporates, to me, are a fantastic way of education because they have the resources, they understand what's going on,
help
educate their own staff, and then who can educate their own families and friends and spread the messaging that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, hold on that thought a sec, Paul. I mean, that was the amount of plastic water bottles that you're seeing was obviously, what helped inspire you to focus on that sector, I'd imagine. Faisal, what do you think was your inspiration for you to want to get into the water sector, so to speak?
The inspiration came from a journal article that is published in 2017. It is published in Bioscience, which is one of the reputable research publisher. The title is World Scientists Warning to Humanity, Second Notice, where inside this article, it highlighted around 8 challenges that humanity needs to solve in order for us to not face a human-made collapse of the Earth by 2100. So one of the challenges is actually freshwater scarcity. And this article, journal, is actually co-signed by most scientists in the world. It is more than 15,000 scientists globally co-signed this article, including Nobel laureates as well. And when we look at the data inside the article for freshwater scarcity, you look at this graph where it shows freshwater resources per capita from 1960 up to 2016, more than 50 years of downward trend. Mm. It is a scary graph for us to see. Mm. And with that, we do realize that for the company, we do realize that this is an important problem to solve. Mm. And therefore, that what inspired us in terms of macro level of the real problem that we need to solve. And therefore, we establish the mission of the company and then we try to serve the mission with the relevant technologies.
Right.
Carry on.
I think it's time for us to take a short break for some messages.
Let's do that.
Right. But if you have any thoughts on this, you can reach us on our U-Mobile number, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some music coming on.
We do. Sorry, it is Phoebe Bridges with Kyoto. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. And if you have any questions for myself, for Lily, for Faisal, or for Paul, you can get us on our U-Mobile WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter. We're also at BFM Radio. We'll be right back.
But films, man. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Lily Chai.
We've also got one of our guests here in the studio with us. It is Faisal Ahmad, the founder, CEO and CTO of Rivel. We've also got joining us on the phone, it is Paul Rogers, the CEO of the Water Tree Project. Thank you for sticking with us, fellas. Just a quick reminder, we are celebrating World Water Day today, although with some of those statistics we've been hearing, I don't know if celebration is the correct term. It's an annual event, of course, established by the UN to raise awareness awareness about the importance of water, promote conservation, and address global water challenges. 30% of the global population, around 2.2 billion people, still lack access to safe drinking water.
Hmm. Now, Faisal, before the break, you were mentioning about the downward trend in terms of fresh access, fresh water access, right, on a global scale. Now, what do you think, and this includes Malaysia as well, is contributing to this downward trend?
There are several factors that are causing this downward trend. And among the major factor that is reducing the freshwater availability globally, of course, is climate change. Because climate change will change weather patterns, and therefore that will affect the rainfall of a certain location. Mm. And plus, the way we do our infrastructure is based on where the water falls in terms of water infra, and it's not really flexible. It's a very static solution. So that might bring us a problem as well in terms of freshwater availability. The other factor is, of course, I think mismanagement of water resources. That is quite obvious globally, not only in Malaysia, but also in a global scale as well, because water is an old industry, and sometimes old industry have certain momentum that is quite slow to adapt to new changes. And with climate change impact that is impacting us in a very fast scale, companies like startups or new inventions can literally help this to solve this challenge.
I want to get to that, Paul. The idea of like collaborations between governments, private sector, NGOs in advancing water tech, how do you see that role, firstly? And then just a brief discussion about the challenges that people like yourself in the water technology industry, what challenges do you see in terms of funding, market access, regulatory hurdles, and how have you kind of navigated these challenges?
Okay, a lot of big questions there.
I know you're capable of answering them. That's why I threw them at you. You know?
Indeed. Let me deal with the last part first, which is really for both Faisal and myself having undertaken startups in this space, you might say. Mm. I think any startup has the same problem. It doesn't matter what space it's in. So the first thing is obviously things like, what's the problem you're trying to solve? Who owns the problem, and can they pay for it? Then once you get past that, then you're looking into the eco space. So I think the SDGs, for example, that are widely published and related to water as well, create a lot of opportunities for small startups to look at small gaps and spaces in there for which they can find some area in which to focus. Mm. In Malaysia, as Faisal was saying, we are facing the same water distribution problems that everybody else is. Basically, we're living the wrong place. Right. So water is no longer coming to where we are. So I think the opportunities for small startups again will be on water filtration, water utilization, reusage, recovery, all of that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Here in Malaysia, we have the key thing areas are just normal civil life, agribusiness, industry. They all have three different sets of requirements. Within those, I'd say at community level, you can get a lot of opportunities for grey water reusage, particularly at a village level. Mm. I think Malaysia has a massive manufacturing base. Manufacturing industry uses an awful lot of water. So there are potential opportunities to go into companies and sort of see how can we help you reduce your water usage and make it more efficient, particularly in terms of recovery and reutilization. I just mentioned, so Intel, for example, are coming to Malaysia. They're going to build a fab plant, which is going to help revolutionize your tech base here, by the way. But, fab plants use a lot of water, mm-hmm. a lot of water. So they have all sorts of technology, I'm pretty sure, in terms of how to recover and improve the efficiency and utilization of that. So maybe there's opportunities there for universities to go to Intel, look at what they're doing, and see can they bring those solutions out across to other parts of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And then there's AI. I'll just throw in one more thing since we're kind of, my background is tech. So as Faisal was saying, so rainfall patterns are changing drastically. In Malaysia, you have your federal, and you get your state enterprises and your councils. So we can construct AI models that can even model stuff in real time. Here's rainfall now. We know what's happening. Can just help sort of manage the sharing of water between states, which will always be a big political issue, right? So there are technologies we can use and are available to us if we have the will and the guts to go for it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Faisal, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, so in terms of challenge for water tech startup, I think generally speaking from our experience, because water technology can be considered as sustainable solution, right. So we are also considered as one of green technology.
Yeah. Mm.
For Reveal, we are the first company in Malaysia to be certified under MyHijau for our atmospheric water generator technology. And speaking from the experience, if we look at green technology, with the subtopic of basic utilities, then in relative to energy, water is not being put as much as emphasis as energy. That is so obvious. This is a challenge by itself because government is trying to push the industries to implement green technology by providing incentive, various type of incentive. But because we are not being put an emphasis, because water industry under green technology is not put an emphasis, therefore we cannot access the incentive to provide to our end user. So that is something that I think there's a huge room for improvement that we can put.
The priorities need to be shifted somewhat.
Yes, because, obviously, if we look at energy versus water industry, innovation-wise, energy is way up there compared to water. Yeah, I mean, when we look at startup, number of startup as well, in energy is way higher than water startups, actually, globally.
So, when really, it should be the other way around.
It should be balanced.
Because
it is an inevitable connection between energy and water. But again, for example, our experience going to remote areas, right? Because we implement our technology in mostly in remote areas, there's always that couple of water and energy. So, but this mismatch of emphasis being put in terms of resources by the government to actually incentivize water technologies for sustainable solution and green technology is something that I think there's huge room for improvement.
It must be frustrating.
But again, it is something that we expected as well because it is that is the status quo as of now. So we are doing our own part in order for us to influence that towards making a more balanced approach for both water and energy. Yeah.
So do you both see like the public sectors are more, I guess, open to collaborate with private sectors like you guys in terms of partnerships and giving incentives to startups like you?
Of course, usually we define public-private partnership as government and private, but in terms of, we don't have any example in terms of government projects, but we do have example for palm oil, which let's redefine public as end user. So end user and private partnership, right? So in palm oil industry, one of our clients is actually a public listed company in Malaysia and one of the biggest exporter for palm oil in Malaysia. So they have huge land banks in Sabah. So our deployment is in Sabah, in one of their estates, which is so remote from city that they don't have access to centralized water supply. And what they rely on 100% is actually rainwater harvesting. And that is something very sad because when there's no water, no rain, then you literally have drought and vice versa, right? So our technology sort of came into the picture to help with water security, increasing water security. And we have established that. And as we speak, as of now, the deployment in Sabah is serving more than 300 people per day of drinking water and more to 70 families, which is the workers of the palm oil estate that is so remote in Sabah. Yeah.
Okay, just before we take a break, I have one more question. Paul, I want to throw this over to you first. How do you, I guess, envision the future of water tech and what emerging trends or breakthroughs, rather, do you think will shape this industry in the coming years?
Well, I think the big trend, and again, it goes back to Faisal's thing, is just water distribution. So you'll have scarcity and abundance just in the wrong places. You know, aquifers, old aquifers are not being replenished properly, et cetera. So the opportunities will come in terms of, I guess, efficiencies, in terms of how we use it. I think that's all I'm thinking of at the moment.
Okay. Whilst you're thinking, I'll move over to Faisal. I'll ask you the same questions before we take a break. The future of water tech, what trends do you think will help shape the industry in the future? Similar to what Paul's just suggested?
Along the same line, but for our company, we do see the vision of future in water technology as much more decentralized water supply than centralized nature of water supply. As you can see now, we are mainly in cities. What we do is we collect water at one source and then we treat at one source and then we distribute it to millions of accounts, right?
Yeah,
so this is good, but at the same time also have its certain threats as well. Because if that one source is contaminated or whatever happened, bad happened towards that water source, then millions of people will be affected as well.
So the distribution process is difficult and expensive.
And, also taking into consideration non-revenue water as well, when you start to distribute to millions of accounts, then there's that issue, which is Malaysia, we have very high non-revenue water, which is around 35% now, compared to Singapore is 8%. So non-revenue water is just, if you transfer water from point A to point B, if you transfer 100 liter, if the percentage is 38, then you're losing 38 liter. So that's huge, right? Because we are not transferring 100 liter, we're transferring billions of meter cubics, you know. So that's where we have the losses in terms of economic as well. And I think emerging trends in water technology in the future is much more towards, at least in our experience, we do see that zero energy water generators will be very hugely beneficial. And also along the line of self-sustaining systems such as what IWK, Indah Water Consortium, is doing in Johor, where they are recycling water in factories. And also the last one, I think emerging trend is also in AI plus IoT, because I think that will help in terms of water management and awareness of water as well.
Okay, Paul, do you have anything to add just before we wrap up and take a quick break?
No, I think he's the man who said everything.
Lovely. All right, folks, we are celebrating World Water Day 2023 today, of course. If you have any questions for Faisal, Paul, or myself, or Lily, get us via our U-Mobile WhatsApp number. It is 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter if you have anything you want to communicate there. We're at BFM Radio. We've got some music from Aerosmith with Falling in Love right here on BFM 89.9.
Bluff-free medium. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Lily Chai.
We have here with us in the studio Faisal Ahmad, the founder, CEO and CTO of Rivil. He wears many hats. And over on the phone, we have Paul Rogers, the CEO of the Water Tree Project. We are celebrating World Water Day 2023 today. And as we speak, millions of people worldwide face water scarcity, pollution, inadequate sanitation. So in light of that, we're going to explore how technology and startups can help address these pressing issues. Lily.
Right. Paul, I do have a question for you. So I guess a lot of water scarcity issue roots from pollution problems, right? And besides like forest deforestation and logging issues as well, you're trying to solve like the plastic pollution side of things. So I'm wondering, how is your technology able to mitigate, plastic pollution towards water?
Well, you're quite right that the limited water resources we have, so pollution is destroying, I guess, like a part of the buffer we have. Plastic pollution is a big issue. Plastic doesn't, it takes an awful long time to degrade. It can be around for like 400 years. It's now part of our daily diet, I'd suspect, as part of anybody who eats seafood. So all we're trying to do is, there is no real solution, by the way. There's no perfect solution to any of this. So plastic's been around for 150 years. It's a wonder material, but it's 150 years old. It's really time to move on. So we would have what we call like the least worst bad solution. So Malaysia's hot. People need water. In an ideal world, everybody has their own personal water carrier. You've got a government safe drinking water solution that's available to everybody to tap up and whatever. So no, you know, no setting the world is built like that. And maybe that's one of the things we have to look at in the future. What we're trying to do is at a corporate level, help companies realize, you know, they can take steps. They don't have to use plastic all the time. There's other alternative sources of water. Part of it is bottled drinking water within the company. But there is always, and particularly during pandemic, because of health concerns, there is a requirement for a personal, individualized water on the go. So I guess what we're trying to do is show, well, there's alternative ways of doing things. Paper, for example, is one of the ways to go. It can be recycled back into paper. And I must give a big shout out to KPT Recycling out in Shenandoah. So they have a recycling process whereby they can take water tree cartons and produce paper, real proper paper products out of it. And so we work with corporates, particularly anybody who does large on-site consumption, in completing that circle, helping them with collection and delivery out to the recycling plant. And I think also, if you look at our packaging, it's not a big in-your-face like great logo. It's a lot of messaging there. So we're trying to get back that you let's all start thinking about what's the better way to do this. And then hopefully by working with corporates, and particularly sort of your corporate cities and schools are the way forward. We're going to solve all our problems through these channels. And corporates can work with schools. They can sponsor projects in schools. Kids have great ideas. You know? Mm. And sometimes they ask the most basic questions. And you go, oh, I don't know why we've always been doing it this way.
Yeah.
So that would be very much part of our remit to try to work with schools as well.
That was going to be my next question, about engaging the general public, I guess, in the awareness of plastic wastage, water conservation efforts. Faisal, I want to ask you as well. I mean, Paul obviously has, they have their suggestions and their ways and means of doing things. How do you think people should be made more aware of the pressing issue of water conservation, right? There are people out there already who have a very loud voice, but it's like we're ignoring them, you know, to a degree, and they're not necessarily being taken as seriously as perhaps they should be. Why do you think that is?
I think this revolves around human behavior towards water, and this is a very systemic issue, in a sense that, of course, at the end user level, it is important to have continuous awareness programs to actually provide them the knowledge on water and make them understand more about water. But again, since this is a systemic issue, then we should look at the whole ecosystem where the top, I do think that another option to make it also to change human behavior in a long-term way is from top-bottom approach, where that is where I think Malaysia is lacking behind in terms of water tariff. If you look at other countries, most developed countries in the world has the right water tariff in order to drive the behavior to actually save water.
Right.
Because right now, in Malaysia, sadly, it is not that case, where water is actually cheap. And as you know, most of water operators in Malaysia is running at loss just because maintaining the status quo. But again, this is a catch-up game where I think eventually water tariff needs to be improved due to some certain future pain factors. Other than awareness on the end user side, I think the top-bottom approach is something to be considered as well.
Yeah, I think that is really interesting because a few of my friends in Australia, they said that we can only use 2 buckets of water to wash the car or something, things like that. Right? Yeah. And it stops them from using, more like consciously using your water.
Yeah.
And that should be, I guess, penetrated in Malaysia as well, because we see water and we think that water is still there and there's nothing to, you don't need to do anything about it.
I just briefly interject, I remember when I first moved here and my first water bill came and I was astounded at how little it was.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Okay.
In the UK,
it is compared to your country.
It's very, very expensive in the UK, because of all the processing fees and one thing or another. But yeah, when I first got my bill here, I was very, very surprised by
it. I can use more water.
That's the problem. Right. That's the mindset that I had.
And I think that's the common mindset as well.
Yes, yeah. Because so you see, you think it rains a lot, you think it's an abundance.
Yeah. Because I think human behavior will change if there is an obvious pain that they need to change. You know, if awareness without pain, then of course there will be certain conversion rate, but still conversion rate will be higher.
Well, let's look at it from a different perspective. Yep. You know, back in the day when you would see cars queued at the petrol station because they know that the petrol price is going to go up the next day.
That
see
happened.
Everybody queuing for their petrol.
Yeah,
suddenly,
exactly.
If you tell people water prices are going to go up then tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. I guess this is a question for both of you, right? So what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs or innovators out there who are looking to enter the water sector and develop solutions to address the global water challenges? Paul?
I would say, so I guess I come from I've worked in many countries. I've seen different business models in different countries. And what I like is, I like the idea of you look local, but you think global. So you use the Malaysian diaspora. There are Malaysians everywhere around this planet, right? So they have access to markets and to knowledge. And I know because, like, Irish people are the same. We're everywhere. It's always somebody Irish or somebody Malaysian. It's amazing. So I would certainly try to tap into that, see what's going on overseas. And but I'd also say, don't be afraid to fail. There's nothing wrong with failure. You know, the worst thing that happens is you just start again. And you learn an awful lot from that, by the way.
Yeah. Faisal.
I think the advice to startup or innovators out there that is trying to go into water industry, I highly encourage that. I think the water industry is lacking... there's a lot of room to be filled in, actually, in water industry in Malaysia, from our experience. And the advice is, I think, find the right water challenge to solve first that has high pain point. Due to the fact that we just talked before, right? The mindset of where water is abundance, is cheap, I can use anytime, it's unlimited, then that sort of penetrate into decision makers' mindset, right? So if the pain point is not high enough, they will not do anything, you know. So finding the right water challenge to solve and then with the right pain point and to couple with that is the technology that can efficiently solve the problem. I think that's the advice that I would give. And also another thing is affordability is a huge key in water industry. We do realize this a bit late during our startup journey. We thought that water is, is quite a rich industry, but it's not. So, therefore, it's a very price sensitive market. Yeah. So affordability is a huge key as well.
Okay. Paul, Faisal, thank you very much for joining us on the show today, helping us celebrate World Water Day 2023. Folks, that's all the time we have for today's show. We are going to wrap up, but if you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. It is available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Do not go anywhere because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay with Boost. A fintech arm of Axiata is present across 7 countries in Southeast Asia. The company formed a digital bank consortium with RHB, with Boost owning a majority stake at 60% and RHB owning the remaining 40%. We had the CEO of Boost, Sayanta Abikun. He gave us an update on the launch of the digital bank this morning on the Breakfast Grill. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.